because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's look at this week in the Cap, but more politics than anything else. 10 days out from the election.
Counting.
J.R., there are dozens of independent third-party groups out there trying to influence the election, I think more than ever. Do you agree?
They're more creative than they used to be, but yeah, they're, I don't know if they're more or just more incarnations of the same group with like splinters, if you will.
Well, I understand. So I want to look... I want to look at a few groups. Mm-hmm. Now, the list that we're going to talk about is in no way total. But I just want to look at a few groups. And so, based on a lot of your reporting at WisPolitics, let's just call the roll from some of these groups. And if you're looking at the graphic, let's start at the top left. Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters endorsed three Assembly Democrats, Jeff Wright in the 51st against Todd Novak, Art Schrader in the 50th against incumbent Ed Brooks, and David Gorski in the 72nd against Scott Krug. Any surprises there?
No, it traditionally leans toward Democratic candidates. I think there's some mail and radio or something like radio, I think, are what they're mostly doing. They're not the big player necessarily in this yet.
Right. Okay. Then I was just intrigued. The Humane Society Legislative Fund, I didn't know the Humane Society Legislative had a fund to influence elections.
I saw a story this morning that Russ Feingold's daughter used to work for the organization, for what it's worth.
Okay. And you and I saw that press release in which they say that Mr. Feingold, I'm quoting here, has always been a friend to animals.
Yes.
It's pretty interesting.
Everybody has a constituency in this world.
I understand. The Prosperity for Everyday People. They like the WAPACA mayor, Mr. Smith, against Senator Olson. But I want to point out, as you reported, WMC Jobs Fund now is out with an anti-Smith ad.
This is becoming the second front in the race for the Senate, is the 14th Senate District. And Prosperity for the People, the new group, popped up this year, had not really seen them before. So they're doing things there. WMC is doing stuff there. And more is to come. We'll get that in a little bit.
Okay. Now, Farm Bureau, I found it intriguing. They endorsed four Assembly Republicans, Kathy Bernier, Ed Brooks, Keith Ripps, and Todd Novak, and a Republican candidate in the open 67th, Robert Summerfield. Has Farm Bureau, is this unusual for them?
No, and they stress their positive ads. They're not doing the attack spots. They're doing like positive, you know, stress their connections to agriculture, if they serve in the Ag Committee, with RIP, the Transportation Committee, you know, things that they've done. So much more of the this is a good guy kind of ad than tearing down somebody, which you're seeing from a lot of the other groups.
And we know why that is, because whoever wins these elections, the Farm Bureau is going to have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're not.
They're a little different organization than some of the more partisan groups. I mean, they tend to endorse Republicans, not always, but tend to. But if you're talking about, for example, American Federation for Children, they have a much longer record with Republican candidates or Democrats who support school choice.
Yeah. Okay, but now let's look at some of the real big ones. Help me understand Let America Work. What is that?
Pro Ron Johnson Super PAC. It's been funded mostly by regional and state money. So a lot of these Super PACs you see, you're seeing national money flowing in big races across the country. Let America Work, not all of it, but mostly has been people like Diane Hendricks out of Beloit, Richard Uihlein, a businessman who's been doing a lot of stuff in Wisconsin politics the last 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're really driving that train financially. It's not necessarily national money, but state money, regional money, but all spends the same. And it's helping Ron Johnson.
Okay, and we're talking about expenditures here in the millions of dollars.
We are supposed to see a new TV ad in the final days from them, either today, tomorrow, or Sunday, they told us, or this week. But they have been helping Ron Johnson off and on, and that's their creative ability to help him win re-election.
Okay. Reform America Fund. Give me the pedigree on that.
Another conservative group going after Russ Feingold. They've also been doing ads against Hillary Clinton in Wisconsin, kind of a dual track. They're also with the Reform Wisconsin Fund, that they're kind of all interconnected a little bit. But it's a group, you know, pro-Republican super PAC, spending money on TV, trying to drive a message in the final weeks of the race.
Congressional Leadership Fund is up against Democrat Tom Nelson in the 8th.
Yes. The only really competitive congressional seat in Wisconsin. You're seeing more groups play there in the final weeks on both sides. But it looks like Republicans have the edge, both in spending, polling, and money. I saw the reports last night. Gallagher had basically outraised Nelson almost 2-1 in the most recent period, which was 19 days.
I think he reported he's sitting on cash on hand on $400,000, whereas Nelson is sitting on about half that, correct?
Yep. So both, you know, about 2-1 both on raised and cash on hand. And Gallagher seems to be the favorite right now to win that seat.
Okay. Now, Midwest Growth. I'm not familiar with them as a player.
Another group, blanking them all of a sudden, but it's, again, part of this. In the eighth, it's the only place to play in Wisconsin right now. Why go to the Mark Pocan race, for example? He's going to win re-election easily. Glenn Grothman, not getting a challenge. Sean Duffy, we saw a small ad this week calling Sean Duffy in the pocket of Wall Street.
Yes.
We've not seen a lot of big money spent anywhere else. It's all about the eighth because that's when it's competitive. Now, what's interesting about the eighth has been that the going theory in the spring was that Tom Nelson would have an opportunity because of a Republican-leaning seat, but Democratic turnout is higher in a presidential year, and that Donald Trump would do poorly. Well, Trump has actually done fairly well in the Green Bay market. And so as long as his numbers stay strong up there, that plus the nature of the district and the seems, again, playing to the Gallagher being a favorite right now.
And you talked about the ads up against Duffy. Now, that's from the Working Families Party, whatever that is. I don't have a clue what that is. And that's up against Duffy, and they're up in the Duluth and Superior
market. Yes, they're actually doing ads against three congressmen. Now, Duffy's not in any trouble from what I can tell, but maybe trying to drive a little bit of message about make him comfortable on an issue or something like that. What's interesting from all of this, though, is you can tell what seats are in play.
Yeah.
And I said we'd say more about the 14th because this week we talked to Wisconsin Freedom Alliance. This is a group that played in the 18th Senate District in the Republican primary back in August and went after Mark Elliott. And the perception of time was that they were doing this to help Dan Fine get the primary because they thought he was a weaker candidate in the general election. Now this group is back. We don't know who is funding it. We have suspicions, but we don't know for sure. They told us they're going to spend about $450,000 on Luther Olson between broadcast, digital, and cable, and they're hitting him with this ad about the Bucks Arena.
$450,000?
Mm-hmm.
In how many races?
One.
One.
Now, they're also going to spend money on cable, they say, against Sheila Harsdorf and Tom Tiffany. Same ad. Just revised to have their names in that.
You voted for the Bucks package, yes. $250 million to support a team owned by billionaires.
While neglecting veterans or other issues like that.
Yeah.
So, but what's interesting is for a long time we talked about Senate races, the 18th is where it's all at. I mean, that's where the money is going. And on this list, most of it is stuff we can see reported. I can either check FEC reports or the Ethics Commission and see they're called independent expenditures or express advocacy, vote for, vote against. A lot of spending, though, is issue advocacy. Call Joe Blow and tell him he stinks.
And
here's his number.
That doesn't have to be reported.
You have to go through TV station records to find it. It's not very easy to do. So that 18th is mostly issue advocacy. We're seeing a lot of ads. I am getting vibes that we're going to see $2 million plus spent in that race before it's all said and done.
In one state Senate seat?
Yes. Now, next door.
For a job that pays $51,000. Excuse me. Go ahead.
The 14th has become the second front.
Luther Olson.
What's happened is that there's two things. One, Luther had the misfortune of having this King Veterans Home issue pop up right in the election cycle. If this were the spring or last year, maybe a different situation, but it's a hot issue right now. It's given critics an issue to latch on to and go after him about. And two, in talking to people, they don't think he's necessarily handled the best way. So it's just kind of conspired between that plus the money. We've got a real race. Now, it's a Republican-leaning seat. How will the Trump-Clinton race play out there?
Yeah.
There are all kinds of other factors. But for Democrats, the key this cycle was they knew they had the 18th was a chance, but could they find a second one and make a real race out of it? And they have. They have a real race.
And you and I have been told by Republicans in that building in the Capitol that Luther always makes it close, but he always ekes it out is the term. Let's talk about one more group, American Federation for Children. This is the Scott Jensen-led group. And is Mandy Wright, the Democrat in Wausau, their number one target?
It seems like it. Now,
how many races are they playing in?
Several. Now, again, independent expenditures, we only see a bit of what they're doing. So they're probably stuff that they're doing that I'm not seeing from these reports. But last we checked, the last one they did, and there's a lag, you know, a couple of days, but they were already over $700,000 spent just in the general election alone. And looking at the 85th, where Mandy Wright is trying to seek her old seat against Pat Schneider, the talk show host, I've tallied at least $340,000 in independent expenditures alone. That's not including issue ads and other things like that. We've seen AFC spend about $150,000. Again, there's a little lag there, but that's what we had as of, I think, the 21st was the last day I saw from them. The Jobs First Coalition has been spending against her, and Source Schneider. And then this week we saw for the first time the Greater Wisconsin Committee came with like $50,000 of mail.
I was going to ask you about Greater Wisconsin.
And what's interesting is for a good part of the fall, the vibe was that Mandy Wright should be fine. It's a Democratic leading seat. She, you know, held it after the 2012 election, lost in 14, Republican wave by like less than 100 votes or something like that.
I think it was 85.
You know, if she did run a better campaign 2 years ago, she would have.
She hadn't paired up with Republican Senator Dale Schultz on
all this chatter combined to, she should be okay. Jensen, to his credit, has made this a real race. And in talking to both sides, there's now a feeling of it's going to be closer. Republicans feel confident they can actually pull that one out.
Yep.
Dems feel like it's still theirs to lose. And now that you're seeing Grader come in, they feel like it's going to help her because it'll be a little bit of a pushback against the criticism the final week.
Yeah, Wisconsin, I was in Schofield yesterday and heard that it could be a very close race.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make one point. All these independent groups is completely and totally separate from the candidates and their committees.
And there's many more dollars being spent by those guys. The new rules that were approved by Republicans this current session allowed for unlimited transfers from a caucus campaign committee to a candidate. So we're seeing big dollars being moved back and forth. It's it was done in theory to give the candidates and the parties and the caucuses more control
over
elections.
More control of
the
idea own campaign was, message.
If you lift these caps on contributions to parties, for example, then they'd be less likely to go to a dark money group, quote unquote,
right,
and go to the party. Well, certain donors don't like to have their names attached to their donations. They're still going to go to these groups and spend because they don't have to be disclosed then. So it's not really tampered down the spending. It has opened a new avenue for money to flow in this way.
Okay, but many years ago, Democratic Senator John Erpenbach was in a close race, and he was the first one to say, when a third-party group comes in, I, as a candidate, lose complete control of the message. I never know when I wake up in the morning what I'm going to be accused of or who's going to praise me or who's going to like me through a third-party independent group. So it's just fascinating.
And remember, with the spending we're talking about, while these are impressive numbers to us right now, go back to the recall election. This is nothing compared to what was spent
That's
in the recall elections.
That's a very good point.
They broke new records for spending on Senate races, stuff we'll probably never see again. Yep. They were like congressional races going on simultaneously around Wisconsin.
Right. And there's one more group that's out there that you've reported on, Wisconsin Freedom Alliance. They're running ads attacking Republican Senators yep. Olson, Harsdorf, and Tiffany. Yeah.
So that's the $450K. I mean,
that's that one you mentioned earlier.
It's the sprint to the end now to see. And the interesting thing is the theories about when to spend money and when's it effective.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you have a clutter of messages right now between, now we have Hillary Clinton going up on TV, I think next week. Donald Trump's been up on TV. We have Russ Feingold, National Senate Democrats also are coming in and helping him. The $2 million buy announced this morning. Let America, all these messages are on the TV. Can you break through at a legislative level? So you might get lost in the shuffle right now if you're spending money late. The flip side is, think about the average voter. How do they decide races? Top of the ticket goes first. So president probably first, then the Senate, then down ballot. If you're not there at the end, you may miss the window when they're making their minds up. Because let's be honest, most people don't pay attention to who's their local member of the assembly, what has he or she said about an issue. Now they're kind of re-familiarizing themselves with who these people are, with the mail, the radio, the TV. So there's kind of pick your poison, if you will. When do you want to try and
okay, let's message? Talk about the average voter. She or he, when they see an ad run by the cold beer and warm pizza pack, mm-hmm. they don't have a clue who's mm-hmm. buying that. So the message is like this guy or dislike this person. So they're just buried in now a sea of ads from these third party groups.
Ken Goldstein, it used to be a professor at University of Wisconsin Madison.
Now he's on the West Coast.
Done studies that show negative ads work. They are effective. The people who see negative ads are often more informed about the candidates and know more about their positions than people who don't.
Yep. Okay.
So as long as they work, they're going to keep doing them.
Okay, now let's play a new rewind game called Name the Surrogates. Throw a rock mm-hmm. on any corner and you're likely to see a surrogate. So let's name these surrogates. Obviously, which Trump son is that in the middle?
Jared? Eric, I believe.
Eric?
He was here two places in the Milwaukee area.
And Chelsea was a block away at the Overture Center.
Three different places, all college towns this week.
Yep. And above Chelsea, the African-American?
Cory Booker, New Jersey senator.
Yes.
He was in Milwaukee yesterday, I believe.
Yep.
Yes.
And top left?
Lindsey Graham, a couple stops with Ron Johnson this week. More to come. Senator Perdue was here.
Yes,
and Senator
he's below the
Saturday.
Trump son. Yes.
Yes.
He's from Georgia.
Yes.
He was the one who gave the prayer from the Psalms saying, may you...
Yes.
Anyway, let's not go there. Top right.
Tim Kaine coming to Appleton and Milwaukee next week.
And Joni Harley Ernst. Writing Joni Ernst.
Saturday. With Ron Johnson. What's interesting is we've been promised another visit by Donald Trump for the campaign. We're down to 10 days left, so when's that going to happen? And two, we haven't seen Hillary Clinton here yet. I mean, no offense to Mr. Kaine, but he's not the top of the ticket. We also haven't seen President Obama, Michelle Obama. There's kind of a question of, well, will they put the president on this kind of like gangbusters tour around the country, hit, you know, large African-American populations in like your Clevelands, your Milwaukees, your those kind of places and try and drive it up? Do they need to? I mean, all these, it's like a chess match right now. Where do you put your pieces and where are they most effective? And they're trying to figure that out for the final 10 days. Where do we need somebody? Florida seems to be a hot place right now. North Carolina. Where do you put them to be most effective?
I think they're both in Iowa today, too, one in Cedar Rapids and one in Des Moines.
And just a week or two ago, we were talking about Donald Trump was going to win Iowa, and it was trending his way, and all of a sudden it's back to being even.
Well, my question, JR, for you, we have not seen Mrs. Clinton here since April when she lost in our primary. Do you think she comes back before November 8th?
It's a good question. They don't feel like they need to right now. Now they're starting TV, and the message from them was that, well, this is to help Democrats down ballot, because the more Dems who turn out on Election Day, the better it helps not just Russ Feingold, but members running for Congress, the Assembly, and the Senate. So they're trying to portray an air of confidence of this is just, we got the money, we can spend it, we're helping other people. It's also a six-figure, quote-unquote, buy in three markets. That is not like overwhelming dollars, especially right now. See, we talk about dollars for ads, but the key is points. Points are how often do you see the ad. Right now, your price per point is really high. Mm-hmm. If you bought it back in the spring, you get many more ads out of your points right now. This is not going to be one you see wall to wall over the final days. Even the $2 million that Senate Dems are now spending for, or National Dems are spending for Russ Feingold, that's they're expensive buy for the final 10 days because of the point issue.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think we see Hillary Clinton in Wisconsin before we start voting on November 8th. I don't know. You can disagree. Yesterday afternoon, Attorney General Schimmel writes the Chief Justice, Chief Justice Rogan's Act, asking for the appointment of a special master, saying the special master should investigate the breach of the security orders in this case related to the September 14 article published in the Guardian. These documents were obtained in violation of the secrecy orders in this case. This court has imposed upon lower courts a clear duty to investigate possible violations of a secrecy order. When's the last time we've got a little bit of experience in the Capitol? I don't remember a special master.
No. Also, Democrats pointed out quickly that A.G. Schimmel did not ask or point out the Eric O'Keefe sort of activist was going to the Wall Street Journal
a couple of years ago and
sharing information about subpoenas that he received. So also, there are other conservative media outlets that got leaks of court filings and other things during the court. Those weren't in there.
Right.
Now, obviously, conservatives, kind of Republicans run the show in Wisconsin right now. They are most outraged by what they think is a breach of secrecy order because these documents were released wholesale to the Guardian. They're focused on that. But that's, you know, the partisan side game to all this.
Well, he wrote to the Chief Justice. Does she have the power alone, or does it take a majority of our court?
I am not sure. He also wants this person to have subpoena power.
Yes.
To compel testimony. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch. Will that be an open court, closed? How does that work? I've never covered one before, so I'm actually asking the question. I don't know.
I didn't even know there was a statute authorizing a special master.
Yeah.
But the biggest omission is Schimmel is only asking for the Guardian leak and not investigations of the leaks to O'Keefe and all these others that got access to it.
Well, and conservatives have had their suspicion / their fear since the probe was shut down a year and 4 months ago, 3 months ago, that somehow these documents would get out and into the ether and people would see them. And so they've been asking for a while to have them returned.
Yeah.
John Chisholm out of Milwaukee County DA's office, his team has been defending itself, against a lawsuit from a former Walker aide. Two, they were appealing the Supreme Court, which shot that down.
Wouldn't take the appeal.
So they wanted the documents as part of their legal cases. So how's that all get resolved? One of these things pulled back, and yes, it's going to be fun to watch.
It is going to be fun to watch, whether Chief Justice Rogan's Act can authorize it or whether she'll seek a court majority, whether the court will act. A special master, as you and I, we don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we mentioned this last week, but I don't want to come back to it. Obamacare, Affordable Care Act premiums will be going up 15.9, 16% in Wisconsin. And I got a few more details, so we're just going to land on this quickly. Our 16% increase is less than the national increase, yes, increase of 22%. However, if you're a 27-year-old in Wisconsin buying a silver plan, you're going to pay $304, so that's 16% more. We have 15 insurers in the Wisconsin market under the Affordable Care Act. Four left, but three entered. And the reason that we're landing on this is an important part. 230,000 Wisconsin residents bought through healthcare.gov. And so they're facing a real challenge next year in terms of January. I think the enrollment period begins on November 1. Yeah.
One issue Democrats point out is that while the increase in the premiums has been covered a lot, the increase in the subsidies has not. That will go up as well and help offset some of the bump. Two, this is coming at a bad time for Democrats.
It is.
Especially Senate Democrats. This is an issue that Republicans feel like they can use to hammer on Democrats in the closing weeks of Obamacare is a failure and this guy or gal supported it. You should reject that person. And especially in Wisconsin, where Russ Feingold has not only said, yes, I backed it, but I'm proud of it. Ron Johnson started to make that an issue. Ran a couple ads about Obamacare, including a nurse who kind of hit Russ Feingold for what he said about his vote and the people who are complaining about the law.
Right. And just a programming note, Monday, Wisconsin and I will be interviewing Insurance Commissioner Ted Nickel. He'll be sitting right there on these very issues. Let's get into the nasty tone that has emerged in the U.S. Senate race. I think Mr. Johnson went first. Senator Johnson went first. I'm sorry, I hate to say it. Senator Feingold is a complete phony. I'm the real deal. I'm genuine. And then trying to assume the high road here, Mr. Feingold said, I realize when somebody's desperate, when a politician feels like he's probably going to lose, he gets a little shaky. You surprised that it got this nasty?
No, and then you also have Russ Feingold taking flack from Johnson's campaign because in an interview with Wisconsin Public Radio, he said that the Joseph Foundation, the effort that Ron Johnson has done outside of the Senate to help connect people in inner city Milwaukee with jobs outside, yes, the city, often busing them out to or giving transportation out to these places, that it wasn't enough, and there need to be investments in minority-owned businesses, in public schools, community policing. Now, the way Feingold said it wasn't very... could have been more articulate.
He said, you take people to a work site, they come back tired and
yes,
a bus.
That doesn't build a community.
Right.
Ron Johnson's campaign has turned that into an attack on the program, the people in it. We're in a phase right now of the program where somebody told me today, every pebble feels like a boulder. We're in hypersensitivity. We're campaigns looking for any little thing to like motivate their base in the final week and a half,
yeah,
to claim the high ground, to say, you are, you know, this, this, and this. And so what you're seeing is that always happens, where there's one misstatement or one comment and it kind of blows into a 2 or 3 day issue and it drives the news for a while and they can kind of say, look, this guy is desperate, this guy's out of touch, this guy is whatever.
Yeah, right. Okay, and just another short programming note. We're scheduled to interview at Wisconsin I Senator Johnson on Monday. We've also invited former Senator Feingold to join us for a final campaign interview. Okay, stock choices.
So rising, so voucher enrollment. No surprise, the state lifted the cap on enrollment statewide, and numbers went up.
Yes.
So we went from having, I think, an increase of 2,500 kids in 15-16. So that's a big boost. This year, 3,000 more kids joined. It's also more expensive now because we've gone statewide. So the state will pay about $245 million for students attending those schools, up from $230. Now, the political upshot of all this is whenever this happens, there becomes a rehashing of the argument over the voucher program. Either
yes,
is a program that gives parents choice and options, either kids out of failing schools, or is an unaccountable private system where you're sending your tax dollars to these schools. So that kind of flared up again with the numbers.
But you have this new addition where you have special education vouchers, mm-hmm, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story pointed out that those $12,000 in special education vouchers, and one private school in Milwaukee got nine of those students, nine times 12. It was $108,000 upper their budget. So choice is a good one for rising because the numbers and the cost are growing. But, okay, mixed.
So Glenn Grothman, so all of us junkies.
Congressman Grossman.
Watch John Oliver's HBO show. It's based on an episode about people who got elected. Like, can you believe this guy got elected? And, you know, even people who like Glenn got a good laugh out of, like, just the things he said over the years that you could use as fodder for, like, what is this guy thinking, you know? Even people who like Glenn will tell you that he has a habit, a bad habit from the days in the Capitol, of going to any camera that is on and saying whatever is on his mind. But what reminded us, though, was that 2 years ago when he won that primary for this seat, the word from Democrats was, oh, he's going to say something in Congress, and we're going to go after him in 2016, and we're going to really take that guy out and win that seat. Look what's happening. Nothing. You know why? To his credit, Glenn Grossman has been very message disciplined his time in Congress. He has worked hard. That district leans Republican, a good, solid Republican lean. He's raised money. He has not made any mistakes in that regard, and he's got no race on his hands. So while, yes, you go back and look through the clips, there's plenty of fodder on Glenn Grossman, give him credit. The guy has really done a good job his first term as a congressman of staying on message and avoiding, like, running the camera every time it's on and saying whatever's on his mind.
Okay, but let's go back to our previous lives. You were bureau chief for the AP. I worked for the Journal Sentinel. So we spent a lot of time in that Capitol press room. One of the people who would come in and say, quote, anybody need a quote, was Glenn Grossman. You remember that?
I am pretty sure he's not doing the same thing in Washington, D.C.
I think you're right. Falling.
So the Green Bay clerk.
That one.
Remember we talked about every pebble feels like a boulder?
Yeah.
Well, these emails that we saw this week, the Green Bay clerk was asking the Elections Commission, okay, they want to, this lawmaker, Eric Genrich, wants to put a early voting site at UB Green Bay campus. I've got some concerns over staffing, budget, security, and oh, by the way, students lean Democrat.
Quote, I've heard it said that students lean more toward Democrats, close quote.
Now, in her defense, one thing she was asking about was there's this law that says you cannot establish a polling site that benefits one party or the other unfairly. So she asked about that, but the way she asked, not exactly the most articulate way to do it or politically sensitive way to do it. I'm sure she didn't think these emails were going to become public, but it gives Dems fodder to say, look, here are these bad Republicans again. Now, it's a nonpartisan office, partisan by a nonpartisan mayor, but who, you know, supported Governor Walker.
And has his own campaign finance violation problems.
But these guys are trying to suppress the vote and all that stuff. You see all these headlines about trying to stop students from voting, which is not true. What she didn't want to do is put a polling site on their campus. Now, they could still go down to the city and vote, but again, it feeds the narrative and it gives you a pebble to make into a boulder about, here's a problem. We need to kind of watch against these things. So it wasn't her best email she sent in her career, I guess.
But the elections the Elections Commission chairman, Mr. Thompson, Mark Thompson, a Democrat, called it much ado about nothing, told Mike Gushay that.
Yes.
Okay, now let's look ahead. Final week of the campaign. Mm-hmm. Charles Franken's going to come out
last
with his final poll.
Wednesday.
Here's one thing I'm going to look for. How far ahead of Trump is Ron Johnson running? What are you going to look for?
Well, on that point, the question I've asked is, what could he survive? You know, 2 points, 3 points, sure, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, now you're talking a problem. Because remember, part of Trump's issue in Wisconsin is that he's got a deficit in the WOW counties, this hardcore Republican area. So it's not a traditional issue where, okay, it'll be within 2 points top of the ticket. It might be 4 points, but you still have Republicans turning out who vote for Gary Johnson, write in Evan McMullen, whatever they do. So that's going to be really key, is what the number is. Watching next week, visits, TV ads, where do they send resources at the end, surrogates. Do we get a vibe that there really is a Senate race on our hands? Because it looks like the national groups are telling Ron Johnson, we're not going to invest in you, you got to do this on your own.
Right.
It looks like they're saying, part of it is either A, they wrote him off, or B, said, look at the map right now. We got to spend money in Missouri, Indiana, North Carolina. We weren't expecting that in the spring. And if we're going to spend money at the end, do we go someplace where the top of the ticket's going to help us? Because Trump should win Indiana by 6, 8, 10 points. He should win Missouri. North Carolina's a dead heat. Here, he's not expected to win. So you're talking a different situation top of the ticket. So there's that issue for him.
Yep.
Do we see, though, a final push in there for Ron Johnson to help him out?
Yeah, we're going to look through that. We're also going to look at whether Clinton widens her margin over Trump, giving signs of landslide blowout.
Is there a down-ballot effect? Republicans have argued for a while to me that people see Trump as a party of one, not a party of them. Is that true? Is that going to happen? Or are we going to see places like Todd Novak in the 51st Assembly District,
yeah,
or where it's a Democratic-leaning seat, solid Dem seat, top of the ticket, but a Republican holds it, and they have a hard time fighting against that tide at the top of the ticket.
And all the ads, Jeff Wright and Todd Novak. Okay, and then you and I, we're going to make predictions, put them, seal them, and then we'll open them the Friday, the Rewind after the election. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for October 28th.